Hi, and welcome to That's My First Pod, a podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
So, you know, we always like to update you on what's going on in our lives. So how was your week, Jimmy?
My week? Oh, man, that's a tough one. I feel like, so I've been traveling the last couple of weeks. I just feel like this is my first week kind of just at home. My dog has gotten used to me being back. It's just kind of very chill. So I think I've had just a normal week, just cleaning, just some boring stuff. Watch a lot of anime, but nothing too crazy, I would say. What about you?
Honestly, boring's good sometimes, especially when it's busy. Like, this past week for me was very busy, this upcoming week. Granted, thankfully, we have a three-day weekend here, so at least I get that extra day. This week promises to be pretty busy, and then next week's going to be very busy, and then I think it's going to be pretty mundane for a bit, but, you know, it's this past week, so I live in San Francisco, but I had to travel a lot to the South Bay this past week working with a customer, so that was fun. It was always the thing where I have to be conscientious of my time, because in San Jose, like, to people who don't live here, traffic gets really bad at rush hour, like, really bad. A 45-minute drive easily becomes a 2.5-hour drive during rush hour. So I'm like, okay, I need to be out of here before 4 p.m. if I'm going to beat the traffic and stuff. So that was always a fun thing that I had to figure out how to do. But yeah, so that was busy. And then I have to go back to the South Bay this week for the same customer. And then I have to do it next week for a conference. So, I mean, it sounds worse than it is. It's not terrible to go down there, but it's just like it takes, you know, it's like an hour, 45-minute hour commute one way to do it. And, you know, have to get up early so I beat the traffic, have to leave the dog home for a long, long time. I should probably, like, get my neighbors to walk her or something like that. I know one of them works from home, so. So that was pretty much my week. Watched TV, hung out with some friends. Oh, Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater came out, which is the remake of Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater. Why they're calling it Delta instead of 3, I don't know. My theory is that they are going to, like, this is the start of a reboot of the entire franchise or a remake of the entire franchise. That's just my theory. But it's been fun. I've been enjoying it. There's definitely been a lot of people complaining about it. So they're complaining about it because the frame rate is bad and some of the graphics are bad. And they're like, when is Konami going to patch this stuff? And Konami's already released a few patches to fix some of it, but I'm just enjoying it for what it is. I don't know if it's just that I'm a very basic person who just doesn't complain about graphics or whatever. To me, it feels like unless it is very noticeable, I don't care. Like, when I tried to play Ghost of Tsushima on my Steam Deck, I could really tell that the graphics were terrible and I did not enjoy it at all. But minor frame rate drops and stuff, I tend to not notice.
I just feel like, for me as a consumer now, I'm just now used to it. I don't think I've ever... There's rarely I buy a game that's been on release day that's finished, that doesn't need any patches. Those days are over. I feel like, you know, us as, like, millennials who grew up in, like, the cartridge generation or, like, original PlayStation and Xbox, like, our games were done. There were no patches. There was no way to, like, go back. The game had to be finished for us to, like, play it. But now it's like, well, you know, you can't play a game that's not connected to the internet or that doesn't have online features anymore. So, of course, they're like, we're going to release it, but we're going to, like, fine-tune it as we go along. So just, you know, prepare yourself. And I play the video game Ark, Survival Evolved. That game is never done. It's always needs a patch. It's always being worked on. So I'm fine with, you know, as long as I can move in the game, as long as it's still playable, then I'm okay. It's just when it's like the lag is so bad or like you can't move or save functions aren't working, that's when I really have qualms. But a few frame rates dropping here and there, it's not gonna ruin the game for me too much.
To me, the most egregious one, at least of the games that I've played. And I know there's tons of them that released with major problems. The one that upset me the most was Spider-Man 2. Because it had so many bugs when it launched. It's pun not intended. I remember playing it, and there's the scene where you're in like a in an amusement park, and you can sit down on the bench and have a conversation. The bug was you couldn't get up from the bench. Like, oh, he literally would not stand back up for whatever reason. You had to reset the game. And then there were battles that I fought where I got stuck in like a wall or something, and the only way I could get out was to restart the game. Same thing with Zero. What was not Zero? Horizon Forbidden West had the same problem. There was one boss that you could not kill because of a glitch, and the only way to do it was to like reboot the game and fight the boss again. So things like that just irritate me. And you're right, like back in the day, before online updates were even a thing, you had to ship a completed game. Otherwise, it would just be too costly, and you would lose faith in your audience if you had to say, oh, we re-released a new game, buy a new disc or whatever, or if you were forced to distribute new discs and give them away for free, that would even... So it really encouraged them to create a finished game, whereas now it's like, we could just push a patch. You know, we could push a patch a week later if it's not perfect, so...
Yeah, I just, I don't mind fine-tuning a game. It's just, it's fine, you know. Yeah, just, if you're going to fine-tune it, that's fine, you know. As long as we can play through it and get to the end,
yeah,
then I'm all good.
Yes, bugs, as somebody who works in tech, bugs are inevitable in software. Even games that launched when we were kids, a lot of them had bugs. But a lot of them, you had to, like, do something very, very, very specific to trigger that bug. Whereas nowadays, it's just, like, they ship with a bunch of bugs that if you just play the game normally, you're going to run into them.
Yeah, do you remember just, like, back in the day, like, your friends would find the bug, and then it would be like, check this out. When we do this weird thing, it crashes your game, or, like,
yeah,
this weird thing is going to make this character pop up, or it's going to, like... What was, you remember like Pokemon where you could find like Missing No?
Yes.
And like the original, like that's a bug basically. It's not supposed to be there. It's like, yeah, a little extra thing.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a placeholder or something. I believe Missing No means missing number. And So it's supposed to be like a placeholder for, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was something about data storage or something. But yeah, if you did very specific things, you can capture Missing No. And then there was a glitch to where the sixth item in your list you got 99 of if you fought Missingo or stuff. So people would either get like the Master Ball or Rare Candy and put it in the sixth slot, and then all of a sudden they have like 99 of them.
Yeah, that and like, what was it like? I just remember everyone being like, you can catch Mew too. Not Mew too. But Mew as well.
Yeah.
Like, you weren't supposed to be able to catch Mew in that game, and they were like, well, if you do these tricks, you can catch Mew. Like, just, I guess, like, hacking the game.
Yes. So. Well, because Mew is actually in the game data. Mew was originally supposed to be in Red and Blue. So if you had a Game Shark, you could play with Mew. You could make Mew your initial Pokemon that you choose. There was a hack for that. But then there was also those, like, playground rumors that weren't true at all, that like, what was it, if you could, well, I'm trying to remember what it was, if you had a Pokemon that had slash, you could slash the tires of the truck outside of the SSN, and then if you had a Pokemon, like a strong Pokemon, it could flip the car and Togepi would be underneath it or something like that. Something that was not true at all, but people were it was one of those playground rumors that people, everybody told, they're like, no, I swear my cousin did it one time, and then you tried it all the time. Or what was it, there, or somebody was saying there's a Mew 3 in the game, so you know there's Mew 2. Well, there's Mew 3 in the game, and if you beat the Elite 4 100 times in the row without losing a single Pokemon, you can capture Mew 3. And I actually knew one of the kids in my school who did that, like after the course of months, and got nothing out of it.
Can you go back and, like, heal your Pokemon after, or is it gotta be 100 times just, like, Back to back.
Yeah, back to back, yeah.
Gosh, I can't even imagine.
But yeah, I like those old Playground rumors that were just somebody would make up and say, oh, you could do this. It's same with any game. What was it? If you captured all, I forget what it was. If you ran around like a fountain in Mario 64 100 times, then you could unlock a Luigi. And there's just all these random rumors that existed back then around video games.
Yeah, and I just, like you said, like back in the day, people, like kids, because we would all work all kids, and they would swear by it. They'd be like, no, this happened. Like, they're like, I can't, it's not on my game, but my cousin or my friend's friend did this, and I saw it. And then you always have those other people who are like, yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's our playground urban legends.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have kids, and I'm not a kid. I wonder how those things exist anymore, because now you could just, like, look it up online and be like, no, you're lying.
Oh, yeah. I guess so. Like, the internet. I mean, because even, like, little kids, like, man, I see, like, kids in elementary school still with, like, who have phones now. So it's just like, wow, that does, you know what? We grew up in a great time. Like, we were, like, there before internet. And, like, the introduction of it. So we got to experience a life of, like, mystery and wonder and lies. And then we discover the truth. Then Reddit happened.
Exactly. Now if you do make up something, then people can easily call you out and say, that's not true at all.
Yeah, that is... Man, what an interesting time. And, like, whatever... I guess Game Shark doesn't exist anymore. There's no use... Now people can just insert codes in their game right away.
Yeah,
but man, I wanted a Game Shark when I was a kid.
It's always fun when a game releases on PC that was originally on console, because if you just wait a few months afterwards, all the mods are going to come out, but then also the data miners are going to unlock all these secrets that exist that they found by like going through the game code.
Oh yeah, like gosh, do you ever watch, like, what's his name? It's the guy that does the game theory on YouTube. But, yeah. Like, you know, he did all those Five Nights at Freddy's things? Yeah. And he'd be like, there's clues hidden in the game source code. And then he would go in there and be like, see, this one line of code that doesn't mean anything is actually a sentence. So that's kind of cool now, like, that developers are like, well, people actually look in here, so now we'll hide our Easter eggs in here as well.
Exactly. Well, while we probably should start game podcast, I think people are wanting to hear about King of the Hill, so let's jump right into it.
Yeah.
So this episode is New Ref in Town. I actually really enjoyed this episode. I don't know if I'd say it's in my top... maybe it is in the top five of this one. But yeah, I really enjoyed this one. So we get to learn a little bit more about some of the things that Hank discovered for himself while he was in Saudi Arabia. So, the episode, New Ref in Town, starts with the guys in the alley, as a lot of episodes do, and we kind of see Dale looking off to the side. Actually, all the guys are looking off to the side, and Dale's like, I cannot believe they are allowing this to happen openly in our streets. And so you assume it's going to be something like, I don't know, kids smoking pot or something like that, but then it pans over, and it shows Luke playing soccer, and Boomhauer's like, that's not even a real sport. It's like, yeah, Bill's like, yeah, they're taking some of our best kids and taking them into soccer. Now what are they going to do? Change milk to liters or replace donuts with scones? And Hank's like, I don't know. Luke can grow up to be the next Lionel Messi. And then the guys just kind of stare at him in disbelief. And he's like, or whoever, I just made up the name. And then the ball rolls over to Hank, and Hank, you know, does kind of a soccer kick and kicks it back. And the guys are like taken aback by that. And Boomhauer's like, oh, I gotta, you know, do the stepdad thing and take him to his soccer league and stuff. And Hank's like, oh, let me go. I want to see St. Augustine grass there. They say it's lusher than Bermuda. Yeah, right. Which I thought was weird because I seem to remember him getting St. Augustine grass in the King of the Anthill episode. So it's like, he's had St. Augustine grass before, but, you know, whatever.
I also thought it was weird that they didn't go with it. You know, I always felt like, back in the day, whenever Hank wanted to go check something out, they'd be like, oh yeah, let's all go too. Like, they would go as a group. So it was very... weird. But I mean, like, we will find out that there is a reason they all didn't go. But do you think Hank played some soccer? I know we're going to talk a little bit more. We're going to get into it a little bit more. But, like, he did, like, dribble the ball a little bit. Or, like, he stopped the ball. And yeah. Had some footwork, so.
Yeah, there's no way he'd have that footwork if that was literally the first time the ball rolled up to him. Even if he had been watching soccer for a lot. There's no way, without a little bit of practice, he would have been able to figure that out. So he's played a little bit before.
Also, I was like, when Boomhauer's that stepdad thing, I thought I was like, wait, are they married? So I had to go do some more research on that one. And found out he was just kind of implying, like, this must be a very, like, committed relationship then.
Yeah, that's the impression I get. We have not seen this girlfriend yet. Well, I guess we see her in the intro briefly, but we haven't seen her as a character in the show yet. We just see Luke. But yeah, I mean, if he's this involved in Luke's life,
and they live together, right? Because, like, Luke is always there.
That's what I was thinking. Like, Luke is always there. I don't know if it's like Boomhauer's just watching him while she's at work or what the case is, but yeah, Luke always seems to be there.
Yeah, so I was thrown off by that, so I had to do a little, like, my Dale came out, my inner Dale came out. I was like, I gotta find out the research. Though I think I did a better job than Dale did.
Yep.
Or Dale has ever done. But yeah, I just, yeah, I'm very suspicious of Hank's. How much has Hank played soccer is the question I wanna know.
Yeah, for sure. So we see Bill's house, and Dale's knocking at the door. Dale comes in, and Bill's like, oh, come in. He was like, yeah, I baked some scones. You know, I've really come around on the scones. And I found that funny because he was just insulting scones earlier. But anyway, I guess that's just Bill being Bill. And Dale goes off on one of his conspiracy theories. He believes that Hank was turned into a spy for Saudi Arabia. And, you know, MBS, the prince there, Hank is working for him. And, you know, all because Hank likes soccer now is why Dale thinks that. Dale's like, well, you know, despite Canadians like Deadpool and Ted Lasso trying to make soccer popular, it's a contagion that's spreading. Why isn't Hank a werewolf is what Bill is saying. And Dale's like, yeah, that'd be better because I've killed a werewolf before. Or maybe it was a really big dog. And I don't know about you, so I did play soccer when I was a kid in elementary school, and I think a little bit of middle school, if I remember correctly. But soccer has never really been, or historically speaking, has never really been big in Texas. I don't even know if it's been big in the United States. I think it's becoming big now. So Austin, for example, or up until a few years ago, Austin was one of the few large cities in America that did not have a professional sports team at all. No NBA, no NFL, no MLB, no major sports team. We had college football, college sports with Longhorns, but no major sports team. Until, I want to say, 3 or 4 years ago when they built the K2 Stadium, and now Austin has an MLS team, Major League Soccer, the Austin FC. And apparently it's really popular.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been to a game yet. I know the traffic is very popular. Like, whenever there's a game and I got to go through that area, I'm like, yeah, but I will say, though, I don't know how, I'm not very big into soccer either, but, I mean, I've seen a lot of the shirts around, like, and it's always busy during game day, so I'm sure it is. Maybe I need to get into soccer. Maybe this is what the episode is telling me, I need to get into soccer.
Yeah, I think for most Texans, at least in Hank's generation, it may be a little bit earlier even, or a little later than Hank's generation, all thought soccer was just a European sport. Like, you see a lot of foreigners, like, whenever the World Cup's a big thing or whatever, you'll see a lot of people wearing, you know, Chelsea shirts and stuff like that. But Texas, it wasn't really a big thing. Football was the big sport. Not soccer, or, you know, as the rest of the world calls it, football. So it was just, I think that's what we're seeing with the guys as they came up in that generation where they thought soccer wasn't a real sport, and now they're starting to see it becoming popular, and so they're pushing back on it a little bit. And it's so bad. I mean, it's granted, this is Dale we're talking about. He always has a conspiracy theory, but The simple fact that Hank likes soccer is enough to make him believe that Hank has become some kind of sleeper cell for Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I don't even remember. They went to a baseball game, though, right?
Yeah, but baseball's, like, acceptable to Texas.
I'm trying to figure out what sports they've gone to. Football, for sure. Baseball, right?
Yeah, I don't recall them ever checking out a basketball game in any of the seasons.
Not hockey, right?
No, I've never seen them do a hockey game before.
Maybe it's just only been baseball and football. And Boggle. Just those three.
Golf. They do golf.
Oh, because of the country club. Which is weird for... I don't know. Maybe. I just feel like... It is weird, I feel like, not to have a soccer or anything.
Yeah.
But... I don't know. Yeah.
Well, there was that... I can't remember the name of the episode. I think it was Bobby's Coaches or Two Coaches for Bobby or something. It was in the original run where Bobby considers being on the soccer team. And Hank just absolutely... I mean, he even goes as far as saying, what was it? Bobby was upset at Hank at that time. And Bobby was like, why do you hate everything you don't understand? And Hank's like, I don't hate you, Bobby. And then Bobby's like, I mean soccer. And he's like, oh, yeah, I hate soccer. So, you know, Hank historically has not been a fan of soccer. So I guess the fact that he seems to be all right with it makes him seem like he's changed. Which, I mean, yes, that is atypical of Hank. I could see why that would be concerning to the guys. But to think that he became a sleeper cell, that is like totally Dale right there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, Dale saying that does not surprise me one bit. That is a logical conclusion to jump to for Dale Gribble.
Yes, there could be a completely obvious answer to it, where, you know, soccer is really popular in Saudi Arabia, and he's probably, you know, just hanging out with people, developed an appreciation for it. But nope, to Dale, it has to be some kind of nefarious thing. So we see the soccer game, and, you know, the kids are playing, and Boomhauer is the ref, but he clearly does not care about reffing. He's not making any calls. He's not even really paying attention to the game. Hank notices that one of the balls is kicked out off sides, and, you know, he kind of mumbles it to himself. One of the parents is like, oh, one of those people. He's one of those dads. And Hank's like, I think the rules matter. Boomhauer eventually quits because everybody's like, ref, are you watching the game? And kind of attacking him. And so Boomhauer quits, and they're like, well, does anybody want to be a soccer coach today? Or not a soccer coach. The coach is like, hey, can anybody referee here? This is like we keep losing reps. And Hank's like, I'll do it. It's like, do you know the rules? And Hank just like perfectly rattles off some of the rules and makes it clear that he is an expert at soccer, and everybody is shocked.
Yeah, Hank explains what offsides is, and I don't even think I understand. There's a lot of sports jargon that I don't really understand. For someone who watches a lot of sports anime, I do not know a lot of the sports jargon. They never really break it down in the animes, but yeah, Hank really rattles off like what offside is perfectly. It doesn't even look like the guy... Was that the coach asking?
I think for it was one ref? Of the coaches.
The coach didn't even seem like he was... He was like, yeah, that sounds good. I don't know. Does anyone care? Like, none of the parents seem like they cared about the rules.
No. I mean, I guess they cared enough because they were upset that Boomhauer wasn't doing his job, but it doesn't look like that they were that... You know how Hank is. He's kind of a stickler to things, and he's very anal retentive, if you will, so...
But was that the parents, or was that the kids caring? Because, like, it seemed like the kids were like, you're not paying attention to the game, ref. And then they like, start kicking the soccer balls at him. And I don't know where they got so many soccer balls. It was like every child had their own soccer ball that day. And they were all kicking it at Boomhauer.
Well, you never know. You know, you might lose a ball over the fence and need to start over. And then you keep losing balls over the fence.
They're like, for this game, we need 30 soccer balls just in case we lose 29 of them.
Apparently that happens a lot.
But yeah, it just seemed like only the kids cared about the rules. Because the parents are kind of just like, oh, it's one of these parents, one of these rural parents. Why can't... Do you think that's kind of a dig at, like, what is it? Like, the participation, like, award kind of people? Where it's like...
Maybe.
The parents are just like, why can't we just let everyone have fun and just win?
Well, I've never had a kid, like I mentioned earlier, but I've talked to some of my parent friends, and apparently, like, rules are different nowadays than when we were growing up and playing sports, where parents, like, they're trying to get rid of those kind of parents who yell at their kids from the stands and yell at the coach and stuff because they just take the game way too seriously, and maybe they're assuming Hank's one of those guys.
Yeah, I do think there's a balance between, like, not caring at all, or, like, the parents are just, like, let them do whatever they want, and then, like, the, what is it, what are they called, like, are they called, like, helicopter parents, or is that a different thing?
I guess you could say helicopter parent, yeah.
But it's, like, I don't know, like, a coach parent, or, listeners know what I'm talking about, like, a parent very involved in their child's sporting life, yeah, to, like, the point where it ruins the sport for that child. Yep. There's a good in-between to that, I think. I think Hank is that. Well, actually, no, I don't think Hank is that. Because we've seen Hank do competition with young Bobby.
I definitely think Hank's a stickler for the rules. Like, that is a big thing that we see about Hank. And so I think that's kind of where a lot of that comes from, is that he just really... He thinks if you're going to do something, you should do it right. So we see Bobby's place, and I love this because it just shows that Joseph is still Joseph. He's kind of a lovable idiot, if you will. They're watching what appears to be a Masked Singer type of spoof. You know, there's a guy in an avocado costume singing, and Joseph like, oh, I bet the person in there, he's definitely Tupac. Just like, well, Tupac's been dead for 20 years. But he's like, oh, no, it's Don Lemon. And then all of a sudden it changes to a commercial for a car dealer. And Bobby's like, oh, don't change it. I love this commercial. It's for a dealer named Bronco Berries. And Joseph's like, man, these ads have never changed, or he's never aged before. And Connie's like, yeah, it's because it's the same ad that's been playing for years. And I don't know if you remember, I don't even know if he still runs ads in Austin, but I heard his ads all the time when I was in Austin, like, on the radio and on TV, that Scott Elder guy.
Yeah, didn't he used to dress like a leprechaun or, like, anything?
Yeah, he just kind of... YouTube Scott Elder commercials, and you'll just see it. He always has this, like, I'm going out of my mind sale kind of thing, and that's kind of the Bronco Berry vibe I was getting. Bobby is watching this, and he decides, yeah, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and buy a car. You know, I finally saved enough for a down payment. Maybe I'll go to this Bronco Berry's place. And Connie thinks that maybe Peggy should go with him, but he's like, nah, you need to be tech savvy to buy a car nowadays. My mom's Waze app has been stuck on Mandarin for 3 months and she hasn't figured out how to change it. But Connie's like, I don't know, Bobby, you know, these car dealers are slick and you're just too nice. And Bobby's like, too nice? Huh. Well, we'll see about that. Hey, put a coaster. We don't want to leave a ring on the cardboard accent table. His table is just a cardboard box. I don't know. Like, Bobby is too nice, and it does make it easy to take advantage of people. But if you know what you're doing... Like, I've been told that about me before, that I'm too nice. Like, I'm planning a conference here in a few weeks, and I'm one of the organizers. There's, like, five of us, and one of them... I was writing emails, or I was like, oh, I'm going to write emails to, like, some of our sponsors or something, and one of the organizers was pointing out, like, oh, you're just too nice of a person. I'm like, hey, I've got an inner Karen to me, too. And it's like, I don't believe it. I think people just assume that if you're a nice person, you're a doormat. But, you know, Bobby definitely is a nice person, but I don't necessarily think he's a doormat either.
Yeah. What? There was that episode where Peggy buys a car, right?
Yes. And she gets a good deal on it, but then Hank ruins it.
Yeah, because she got a really good deal, and then Hank goes back, and, like, it's Hank who's like, he's been tricked into paying the sticker price.
Yes.
Because they're like, that is the best price.
Yes. He's convinced that sticker price is a fair deal. Like, paying sticker price and not a penny more is a great deal. Whereas Peggy was able to get $2,000 off the price of the car.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would bring my mom too if she could get that great of a, you know? Like, Connie doesn't have, Connie makes a really great point. I also really love that, like, there's a lot of things I want to unpack in this little scene, but first off, I love that Connie's there with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love that, like, she's, the friend group is fully back together, so that really is heartwarming to me. My other thing is the Masked Singer. I used to love the Masked Singer a lot, and then, I'm sure it is rigged, guys, but there was a season where, it's really old, so Jesse McCartney was the turtle, and then he was in the finals with some other mascot person, and then the other mascot person won, and they revealed that person, and it was a Real Housewife, and I was like, no way did a Real Housewife beat Jesse McCartney, like a singer, in the fight, like, and then that's when I was like, this show is rigged. I don't think they win any money or anything either. So no. There is really no point to this show. But how awesome would it be if on The Masked Singer, Tupac decided to reveal that he is alive. And this is the way he wants to, like, reveal his, like, I've been in hiding. Now I'm back. I'm doing The Masked Singer now.
That would actually be pretty funny if he, like, all the rumors that he was alive are true, and that's how he reveals that he's alive, is he's the avocado and he removes the head and it's like, oh, I've been here, everybody.
Yeah, and, like, wouldn't it be crazy if, like, who, I forgot the judge of panel was, like, Ken Jeong, Robin Thicke, and, like, what's her name? Jenny McCartney, is that right? She's married to Donnie Wahlberg?
Jenny McCarthy, I think so, yeah.
McCarthy, yeah. What, and then they were, like, the whole time being like, I think you're Tupac, but I'm sure Tupac is dead. So, I don't know. But the clues are Tupac, though.
Oh, God, that would have been great.
Oh, man. That's what I want. Tupac, I know you're listening. Please do the Masked Singer.
You heard it here first. Tupac might be on Masked Singer next season. So back at the Hill House, Hank kind of walks in through the door, and you could tell he kind of has a bulge under his shirt. He's trying to sneak something in, and Peggy's watching TV, and Peggy's like, oh, hi, Hank. And then Hank's like, ah, you figured it out. I can't hide it anymore. And he opens up his shirt, and he has some ref gear underneath. It's funny because Peggy didn't accuse him of anything. It's just like, hi, and he just breaks down. He talks about how, you know, he went to the soccer game with Boomhauer, because Boomhauer's, you know, Luke is a soccer player, and Peggy's happy that Boomhauer's taking his father adjacent job seriously, and Hank had to take over because people were kicking balls at Boomhauer's head, and, you know, he decides that, you know, he wants to be the referee, and, you know, times are changing and stuff like that. And one of the things that Peggy said that I took a note of, because it's something that pisses me off to this day, is she points out, like, oh yeah, times have changed. You know, I went to the cashier at Frumpy's and they asked for a tip. I don't know about you, this is a modern problem. Like, I don't mind tipping at a restaurant, at a bar, even at a cafe. But, like, tipping at culture has gotten way too far. If I go to the grocery store and I check out, I shouldn't be asked to tip at the end of checkout.
Okay, this might be controversial opinion, but I had a very, like, tipping moment this weekend. Okay. Have you ever, like, okay, I'll just bring the example that, like, when I hit my tipping point, whatever. Have you ever heard of crumble cooking? I'm sure people have heard of crumble cooking. It's like that, I want to say it's a slightly overpriced cookie place, but they had a flavor I wanted to try. So I walked in there, and this is a place that has no seating area, no nothing. You order at a kiosk, you pay at a kiosk, and they kind of just bring you your cookie, like, in a little box. So at the end, so I walk in, no one, like, people look at me, like, the worker, I'm the only one in there. I walk in, I buy my cookie. It says, if we made you smile today, please feel free to leave a tip. And, like, the tips were, like, I think it started at 18%, which I feel like is a fine tip. 18%, and then 20 and 25, I believe, or something like that. I don't know. Am I in the wrong? I did not tip. Because I feel like I'm not eating there. There's no, you don't need to clean up after me. I'm taking my food away. I'm taking my trash away with me. You know, I don't know. Is it just like, is it just me, or is it like, you didn't do anything but the job you were paid for?
Right.
So, what is the extra I need a tip for?
Yeah, so to me it makes sense to tip a waiter or whatever, because they're waiting on you. They're providing a service. If I went up to you and was like, you know, oh, I'll take that bottle of water or whatever, you turned around to the cooler, you gave it to me, you didn't wait on me, you didn't provide a service, so that's not, to me, not, that's not tippable or something.
Yeah, I just feel like if there was something like, if I was eating there and you cleaned up after me, or if you did this to, like, if you're serving me, yes, I feel like that is a thing. Like, I don't know, like, I just felt like it was interesting. I was like, you're not doing anything other than what you're being paid for. It's not like you walked everything to my car or you delivered it to my house. Like, if I get food delivered to me, yes, I'm tipping. Because you did you brought the food from point A to me, point B, or whatever. I just feel like there needs to be a little extra thing for a tip.
Yes. You know,
besides your normal duty. Of, like, yeah. I was supposed to do this. Like, but overall, I'm against tipping. I think we should just fold it into the normal price of everything. Mm-hmm. We should get rid of tipping. Everyone should be paid. Now I'm on a, was it? Is it a soapbox? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's a soapbox.
Yeah, a soapbox of just being like, everyone should just be paid fairly. And, like, the restaurants, as someone who used to work in the restaurant business, should just fold. I didn't make the prices. I was a worker as well. But, like, those prices should just be folded into, like, the price of the meal. You shouldn't have to feel like I'm going out and now I have to pay extra or whatnot. I think there are some situations where, like, you can tip more if you want. Like, if someone delivered you food, you could be like, here's some. But everything should kind of just be built in our, like, isn't it true, like, in other countries, like, they don't even, or, like, don't even tip. Like, it's offensive to tip me.
Yeah, like, it's not even a thing in Japan. Like, they don't grasp the concept of tip. Like, I shouldn't say that sounds, like, demeaning, but no, they, like, tipping is just not a part of their culture. You know, but, yeah, like, the cost of the food, you just roll in the tip, the 20% tip or whatever, into the cost of the food. Pay your people a fair wage, and there you go.
Yeah, just, you know, now your $5 burger or whatever costs $7 or whatnot. But now you don't have the tip, because it's all been, like, funneled in, or it's all now in. So, like, you don't have to worry about, am I leaving a great tip or not? And then that person doesn't have to depend on tips to, like, pay their rent. As someone who, like, I worked on a food truck, and I got paid, I'm just going to let you guys know, I got paid $7 an hour, which was horrible. I was not making rent with that. I was very dependent on tips. Like, I was like, please, drunk person, leave a good tip. Drunk people leave good tips, by the way. So you really want to work a closing food truck shift. But it was just that, like, thing, like, but if the prices were all folded in, you know, tipping is this weird thing to me. Yeah. So I was like, when Peggy said that, I was like, I stood up and I clapped. I was like, I'm here with you, Peggy. I stand in solidarity with you and tipping culture.
Yeah. I know we went on a little tangent there, but it just, I'm like, there's something going on in our society with tipping. And I like that King of the Hill pointed it out. But yeah. So Hank mentions that there is a referee shortage in Texas, and, you know, he said no initially, or he wants to say no because, you know, he mocked soccer for many, many years. He can't enjoy it, otherwise he's a hypocrite. But, you know, Hank admits that he fell in love with soccer in Saudi Arabia. We even see his kind of origin story there, where he is doing repairs in one of the stadiums. And, you know, while he's doing repairs on the propane tanks there, he kind of hears the commotion. And so he watches the game from under the bleachers and falls in love with soccer. And Peggy's like, you're lucky that my dad's not alive. He hated soccer. But then Peggy's like, oh, that makes you kind of a bad boy because, you know, my dad wouldn't have liked that. And she is so turned on by it. And she's like, are you going to put me in the penalty box? And Hank's like, that's hockey, Peggy. And she's like, don't ruin it. And then they go to the bedroom. And the next scene is, you know, they're post-sex hang out together. But he still has the whistle on. So that's kind of funny. When we see Dale's house, and Dale is surveilling them from, like, a robotic squirrel or something like that. And he's watching them watch TV. And, you know, he's trying to figure out what they're doing. And Bill's there with him. And Bill thinks it could still be werewolves. But Dale's like, you know, I can't surveil both of them. So I need you to surveil Peggy. And, of course, Bill jumps at the opportunity. We see them back at the game. Hank gives the ball to the other team, which upsets some of the parents. But he's like, hey, these are the rules. And Brian Robertson comes up and he's like, hey, I like it since you knew the rules and you didn't cry. And Hank's like, I want you to write that on my epitaph. Back at the old house, Peggy's just so turned on from him being a bad boy. And then they go into the bedroom and do that again. And then all of a sudden, Bobby calls and Hank's like, don't answer it. We are in the aftermath. And then Bobby is asking a bunch of questions, but Peggy's like, I was just cleaning the house. That's why I'm so out of breath right now and seem flustered. And Bobby's like, hey, Mom, do you have my driver's ed certificate? He's like, yeah, I got it laminated right with your diploma. You didn't get a lot of rewards, so I took any opportunity I had for that. Bobby asks Peggy, am I too nice? She's like, oh, you know, there's no such thing as being too nice. You're just the right amount of nice, and your father agrees. He says that he wants to buy a car, and Peggy's like, well, I could drive up there and help you out. And he's like, no, I want to do it on their own. And Hank says, wear a tie. He whispers it to Peggy, and Peggy's like, your father says to wear a tie. He yelled it from the other room. Because, you know, they're trying to hide the fact that they just, you know, made love. So that was a fun scene. It's I think it's funny that Peggy sees, like, Hank being a soccer ref as this bad boy thing that's turning her on.
I never realized Hank was so pale.
Yeah.
Like, those tan lines were very prominent. But it is... I love the thing of, like... Peggy was like, we had to stretch out your awards. Or basically, like, you didn't get a lot of them, so we had to make the most of what we got. Oh, man. But, I don't know... But that's why we love Bobby, right? Because he's just this lovable mm-hmm. person. He's, like, so nice to everyone. I'm thinking back. There's very few times Bobby's been very intentionally mean to someone.
Yeah. That's not to say that it doesn't happen. There's probably a handful of times in this it happened. But generally speaking, he's genuinely a nice person. I mean, you know, the namesake of this podcast, That's My Purse Pod, I think... When he was going around and kicking people in the nuts, that was probably not an example of him being a nice person. But generally speaking, he's a pretty nice person.
Yeah, so... I don't know. I don't think... I do think Peggy should... I was really hoping, like, we were going to get, like, a Peggy, like, jumping out of bed, being like, I'm on my way. We're buying this car together. I love that Hank was also, like, whispering to Peggy, and she's like, yeah, your dad says wear a tie.
Yeah, he's embarrassed, but that's Hank for you. I do like that Peggy did give Bobby a space, and, you know, I feel like early season Peggy would have probably forced herself to help Bobby, but I kind of like that she did give him the space for this one. We see Bobby at the dealership, and he is dressed nice. He's got a jacket on and a tie and all that good stuff going. And, you know, the dealer comes up, and Bobby is just straight business. He has a folder full of stuff, and he's like, you know, this is the price that I want, and this is the car that I want, and here's a copy of my driver's license. I did research on what similar cars have sold for in the area, and I added 2%, and that's what I want to pay because I understand that you have to cover your margins. And... the dealer is, you know, appreciates him and say, like, oh, you can talk to the boss. And then Barry comes out, the Barry of Bronco Barry. And he is definitely an older man. And Bobby's like, what happened to you? And he's like, you know, I'm just getting kind of old. And it's like, he is appreciative of him being smart. And he's like, you know what? I know a good businessman when I see it. And, you know, we'll make a deal with you. But I want to tell you something. And they take him out to the back. And there's a horse barn. And they show him an old horse. And he's like, oh, the horse's real name is Bobby. And it's like, oh, okay. And it's like, he's trying to convince him to take the horse and give him a massive guilt trip. It's like, oh, you know, I'm just getting old myself and I can't keep this horse anymore. And, you know, you could get the deal you want with the car, but please, you could take the horse too as part of the deal. And Bobby's like, no, 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 I don't want any of that special stuff. I don't want an extended warranty. I don't want anti-lock brakes, which is a weird thing to say. And I don't want a horse. But then he says, oh, but you know, I'll have to just kill the horse then. And so Bobby winds up bringing the horse home, and Connie is laughing at him for being too nice. And Joseph at first hates the horse, but then the horse kisses Joseph, and Joseph loves the horse immediately.
I love Bobby when he comes out. Bobby's like, what happened to you? But he's like, sorry, but like, seriously, what happened to you?
Yeah, well, I mean, they did mention earlier that he's been running the same commercial for presumably 15, 20 years, so.
Oh, yeah, I do appreciate Bobby being like, I understand that you guys have to make money, too, so I can't ask for, like, the base price. So here is, like, I love that he has, like, photocopies of his, like, license and then his driver's ed certificate. It's just... But he never test drove the car.
No, he didn't. I mean, I guess presumably he did, but he didn't. Yeah, we don't want to see it.
Maybe, because it just seemed like he walked in and then he, like, had the info. And the guy was like, you got me. He got... Which is like, man, Bobby and Hank are the same person.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was nice to see that Bobby was prepared, and he said he wanted what he wanted. He didn't fall for any of the dealership talk and whatnot, which when I was younger, when I was his age, I probably would have, I did buy a car when I was 21. Yeah, I mean, I think I fell a little bit for the dealership talk. As I got older, I am like impossible to negotiate with as, I know exactly what I want as I'm older, but Bobby, like at his age, yeah, he knew his stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, he definitely did. Do you think, like, everyone, like, all the, like, salesmen, salespeople knew, like, that this horse needed to be get rid of? And was there, like, a horse bonus? Like, if you can find the most gullible person, bring them to me. And whoever gets someone to take this horse home gets an extra bonus or something like that.
You know, I like that idea. Like, there's a bonus for, like, hey, if you can trick somebody to buy this horse, then you get a special bonus.
Well, because, like, it seemed like a good deal for everyone already for the car. So it didn't seem like you needed any special, what is it called? It's not like you needed, a manager or a higher-up person to be like, I gotta check this. This is too much of a deal. I gotta, like, check this off or whatever. It seemed like very, like, a reasonable price, so it seemed well. But he was like, we gotta get the owner in. Who immediately was like, I need to take you out to see something.
Yeah. So at the Hill House, Bill shows up and meets Peggy. And kind of like the weird, like, he's forcing his conversation where he's just like, oh, I am returning a Tupperware container for you. And she's like, yeah, this is, thank you. We've been waiting for this since 1998. So Bill's been holding on to it for a while. Oh, and I also made you dessert. What would you like? And a slice of American apple pie or this falafel and hummus? And Peggy's like, I would never eat food that's been in your home. And Bill's like, okay. So then Bill heads back to Dale's place and he's like, I couldn't break Peggy. And Dale's like, oh, that's fine, because I planted a bug in the Tupperware. And Peggy's washing the Tupperware, so it's underwater. And so, you know, he's only getting bits and pieces of what's being said. And, you know, Hank's talking about how he's going to be coaching the soccer game in Plano. And the mayor's kid is on the team, so the mayor will be there. And, you know, Hank's kind of excited about it. And Hank's worried because if he does this, like, everyone will know that he loves soccer. And Peggy's trying to encourage him, like, oh, you know, you evolved. You're not like the other guys where you're just complaining about people's haircuts and stuff like that. And Hank's like, yeah, I mean, I don't like women who shave their heads and then color the rest of it. But it's funny because we hear things from, like, Dale's perspective. And he thinks that he hears Kid and he hears Mayor. And he hears stadium and stuff, so he thinks that Hank is going to kidnap the mayor. I found it funny that Peggy was like, I would never eat anything that was made in your house.
Doesn't Hank say, like, women who shave... It was women, right? Or was it just people?
I think it was women, specifically.
When he's like, women who shave half their head and then dye it. Does he say, like, they look like peeled fruit or something like that?
Yeah, he says something to that effect, yep.
I thought that was so funny. I don't know why. I thought that was hilarious. Because my boss's boss, she has half her head shaved, and it's dyed. So it immediately made me think of her. Yep. And now whenever I see her, I'm going to be like, peeled fruit. Yeah, I also love the fact, like, you can't, right? You can't eat something that's come out of Bill's house. You don't know what that's been. And falafel and hummus isn't an equal chain. Like, what do you want for dessert? This apple pie or falafel and hummus, which is not dessert at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what are you in the mood for? And it's more of, are you in the mood for sweet or savory more so than a cultural thing? Like, they should have had two sweet items or something.
Is there an episode? Can we go back and find an episode where Bill takes food from the Hill House in a Tupperware? Like, can we go back? Is that a thing? Like, listeners, if you've seen that episode, please, like, I want this to be a callback so badly.
Yeah, I don't remember. Somebody mentioned something. Maybe I'm going to have to go through the backlog and see what happened.
Yeah.
Back at Bobby's house, the landlord is in the apartment talking about how you can't have a horse in the house and you got to get rid of it. And we get, like, our first unbleeped swear word in King of the Hill ever. Because the landlord's like, the horse shot on my wife's car. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is okay. Okay, it's a new generation for King of the Hill now. All right, that's fine, I guess. And then Joseph comes in and he's like, I spent $200 on apples. This is just too crazy. And so Bobby calls Bronco Barry, and Bronco Barry kind of lets down his, you know, the facade, and he's like, oh, you know, I outsmarted you. You know how much it costs to bury a horse? $2,000. I wouldn't spend that much to bury my own mom. So, you know, he just kind of tricked Bobby into getting the horse. But, you know, Bobby's like, oh, maybe we can figure out a way to put the horse down or something. I was like, no, the horse is a good horse. It's a stone breed, and, you know, it's a rare kind, is what Joseph is saying. Then we go to this montage of Hank training to be a ref and stuff, and Dale's kind of spying on him and taking notes. And at one point we see Hank in the garage with what appears to be a welding torch, and we see Dale write down on a piece of paper, like, bomb. Is Hank making it a bomb? But then we see that Hank is, like, working on his glasses, which was kind of weird.
Yeah, like, he's welding his glasses, which is... I don't know. What kind of glasses does Hank have, first of all, that need to be welded back together? Like, and it's not even, like, a little soldering iron kind of welding. It's, like, torch. He's got, like, a torch. And there's, like, sparks everywhere. And so, and then, like... Also, I don't know. I don't know if anyone's familiar with welding. I'm not a welding expert, but I have done some welding in my time. Once you weld something, it is extremely hot still.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't... Hank took the welded glasses and then put it on his face right after. So I'm just saying, inaccurate, King of the Hill, and you'll get a letter from me in the future.
Yeah, it was a nice visual gag, though.
Mm.
We see the game. Hank introduced himself to the mayor. He's like, oh, I'm so honored to... You know, kind of a Hank Hill thing, and the mayor's like, okay. All of a sudden, Dale shows up and is like, oh, hi, mayor. It's funny because, like, this mayor is the one who took over after Dale, but the mayor has no idea who Dale is, which is kind of funny. And all of a sudden, Dale's like, oh, I need to talk to the ref about something. Takes Hank away to the parking lot. And all of a sudden, the Dale dead bug truck pulls up. And they load Hank into the truck and chloroform him and call him a terrorist. And like, are you there for the 72 virgins? And it's, oh gosh, Dale's just going overboard. And now we see Dale at the house. And we see what we see. I think this was one of the scenes from one of the trailers. We see that Hank is tied up, burlap sack over his head, takes it over. We see that Dale has kind of like one of those pin boards where he's trying to figure out who the good guys and the bad guys are. And it's so funny that the only person under the trusted column is John Redcorn. It's a nice little visual gag there. Dale tells Hank his theory that Hank was corrupted by Saudi Arabia. You know, Hank's like, have you ever thought that I actually like soccer? And Dale just laughs at it, and he goes to his fridge and pulls out a needle, and he's like, oh, I've made some homemade truth serum that I found on the dark web. And Hank's like, how do you know that's not going to kill me? He's like, I tested it on Bill while you were knocked out, and it shows Bill in the chair. I mean, he's alive, but he's kind of worse for wear. The game, since Hank is gone, the coach is like, if we don't have a ref, we'll have to forfeit and you'll all lose your money. And so Boomhauer steps in. This is peak Dale for me, because Dale just being such a paranoid person, and he's so convinced that Hank is, just because Hank likes soccer, Hank must be a spy.
I mean, like I said before, this is very just, this feels a lot like, if this was about any other character, I'd be like, oh, that's insane or whatnot. But for Dale, I'm like, oh, this makes sense. This makes sense that it's Dale. That's mm-hmm. Dale's doing this. I don't know. He's never gone this far, though, right?
I don't think so. But I think it's possible. Like, I'm trying to sit here and think about times that he's gotten this crazy. He's gotten close, but not to the point that he's, like, kidnapped or harmed with his friends. At least not that I could think directly. There's been... So there was a time where he captured when he got rabies, or he thought he had rabies, but he was also eating, like, the mushrooms and was making him high and stuff, so he was delusional. And he captured Hank, and he was like, oh, I'm gonna take your blood out and replace it, you know, my rabies blood with that and stuff. So he's done that, but in that instance, he was out of his mind because of the mushrooms. So this is like one of the few times that I can think of where he was just like, as far as we could tell, he was sober but crazy.
Yeah, so I just, it's... And then I'm also like, man, Bill just going along with... Come on, Bill. But Bill is very just, he'll go with anyone, I guess.
Yeah, Bill is definitely very easily manipulated. I also like that he has this like homemade truth serum that he's going to inject Hank with. And then he already gave it to Bill.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I love Hank's like, how do you know that's not going to kill me? He's like, I already tested a dose on Bill. Poor Bill.
I mean, at least he's not dead. But, yeah, I would not have let Dale inject anything into me, period.
Do you think I feel like Dale put it in a drink or something. Or, like, was like, drink this.
Maybe.
Bill definitely would just drink it.
Maybe. Well, before Dale is able to inject him with anything, Hank decides to tell him the quote-unquote truth. You know, Hank knowing Dale, I think he figured trying to tell him the actual truth wouldn't work, so he kind of worked with Dale's paranoia to make it work, and he's like, oh, I'll tell you the truth. I'm actually a double agent. I was recruited by the U.S. government to spy on the Saudis. My work with Aramco was a cover, and liking soccer was the only way I could trick the Saudis into believing I was one of them. And so Dale's like, ah, I knew it. Dale unties Hank and trusts him, and he's like, oh, you know, I always knew you were telling the truth. Bill just wound me up a little bit, and we see Bill, and he's throwing up in the side. It's like, okay, yeah, that was bad. Peggy is rushing Hank to the game because Hank wants to get there as soon as possible, but they get there and things are overall just fine. Boomhauer kind of just made up his own game by combining a bunch of games, so they're playing some kind of weird combination of soccer, football, wrestling, and MMA. And everybody's kind of enjoying it, but Hank is not. Hank thinks it's ruined because he's like, this isn't soccer. Because Hank's, you know, stickler for the rules. And Peggy's just like, oh, you know, it's fine. Texas just isn't ready for soccer.
I when this scene happened, I was just like, what is going on? There are kids choking each other on the field and like kicking each other in the face because there's mixed martial arts. And then it's also like, I don't know what Boomhauer did in this time frame of like, because it takes a lot to just kind of like make up a game as well. Like, because this is basically what it is.
Yep.
I don't know. I've seen parents though, and I feel like someone would have been like, this isn't even close to what soccer is. But I guess it was entertaining, and that's all what people wanted, right?
Yeah, everybody was having a good time, except for Hank, because he's a stickler for the rules. I also like Hank with Dale, how the way he got out of it was just playing to Dale's kind of logic.
I think because Hank thought it was going to take too long to rationalize or, like, reason with Dale.
Yeah.
About, like, what really was... He's like, you know what, that's going to take too long. I'm just going to jump into this world.
Yeah, so I was like, I'm a double agent. I'm actually working for the U.S. government. And, which is also funny because Dale doesn't trust the U.S. government, but I guess he trusts the U.S. government more than he trusts the Saudi government. So Hank being a double agent for the U.S. government worked.
Mm.
So we get back to Bobby, and this story kind of wraps up a little bit, or at least this Bobby story, where Joseph's like, you know what? I can call the horse an emotional support animal, and they can't get rid of it then. And Bobby's kind of like, that's one of the dumbest ideas I ever heard. And Connie's like, why don't you guys just call John Redcorn? So John Redcorn shows up, and he's like, oh, this is the oldest scam of the book. It's the pale-faced pawn-off, and that's what my people used to do to get rid of livestock. John Redcorn sees that Joseph loves the horse, and we see that scene from the trailer where we see John Redcorn and Joseph riding horses, and John Redcorn decides he'll take the horse to his land under the condition that Bobby and Joseph visit the horse. Bobby's like, you know what? I have had enough of horses, but I think Joseph, it would be a great thing for him to go and visit the horse. And Joseph agrees, and John Redcorn's happy. So that all ends in a nice little note. And it shows that Bobby we already know that Bobby is aware that John Redcorn's the real father, even though Joseph is not aware of that. And so I think this was like a sly way for Bobby to get John Redcorn and Joseph to bond.
Yeah, I love... Do you think at one point Bobby went up to Hank and Peggy and was like, is John Redcorn Joseph's dad?
I think... So there's hints in the early seasons, like all the way back in season one, that Bobby knew, even Bobby knew that John Redcorn was the real father, because I think it was King of the Ant Hill where they have the queen ant and Joseph says, hey, this looks like the ant on my dad's truck. And then Bobby's like, you mean Dale Gribble's truck? And Joseph's like, yeah, my dad. So you can think back then, even then Bobby kind of maybe knew something was up.
I do love though that there is like that Bobby, there's that need to protect Joseph, like,
yeah,
all these people in the neighborhood are like, Joseph, whenever Joseph figures it out, it's up to Joseph or that family to kind of release the secret. And until then, we all like I kind of just watched like an Instagram reel about, remember that it was a couple episodes ago where Joseph was like, he can't dress up like Speedy Gonzalez anymore. And then Bobby does like the finger thing. So like, yeah, no one say anything. I was just like, that is great. And I'm sure Bobby doesn't want to see the horse anymore, just in general. But I do think there was a moment where Bobby was like, because he saw John Redcorn's face, and he was like, oh, this is just going to be a great moment for like them to hang out.
Yeah, so I liked how that one ended. Finally, we'll wrap up Hank's story. So, you know, Hank and Peggy are in the bedroom, and, you know, Hank, they're like, oh, you know, maybe Arlen will be ready for soccer someday, and yeah, well, I guess it's not a dirty little secret anymore. And, you know, Peggy's like, yeah, soccer just doesn't feel as forbidden now. But, you know, the idea of you being a foreign spy turns me on. And Hank's like, oh, you could be my honey trap. And Peggy's like, you can call me Natasha. And they're kind of role-playing, which seems kind of weird for Hank. Like, Hank just doesn't seem like the type of person who'd roleplay like that. But okay, it works. But Dale still has a bug, so he hears them talking about assassinating the president and whatnot. So now he is... So Dale's suspicious again, and then the episode ends.
Couple things. If you live next door to Dale Gribble, aren't you, like, debugging your house almost every week? I feel like. He's known for this.
That's true. He's planted many bugs in many people's houses.
So, I just feel like you're going through at least once a week just trying to, like, get rid of all this stuff. Second of all, man, they're... Hank and Peggy are doing it a lot. They were doing it this much in the original series.
No.
They've been boning a lot this season. I don't know. Can we say that? Can we say boning on this podcast?
Sure, why not? I think it's new. I think King of the Hill is different now, which is not a bad thing at all. I think it's good that overall this season is really good. Like, it still feels very much like King of the Hill. I think they've made some adjustments due to it being a newer show, or being like it taking place in a different time, not just in terms of like the cultural references and stuff, but I think things are acceptable now on TV that weren't acceptable maybe 20 years ago, 15 years ago, like casually saying Shacked or something like that. Yeah. Granted, this is Hulu. It's not network TV, which I think gives them a little more freedom to do things because Hulu isn't regulated by the FCC in the same way that broadcaster or cable TV is. So I think them having Hank and Peggy hook up more is kind of not typical for the original 13 seasons, but I am fine with it happening now. Like, it's still King of the Hill. Even though some things have changed, it still solidly feels like King of the Hill.
Oh yeah, and I feel like I can't say more. Like, that first episode, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you're definitely watching King of the Hill, but I just think if you have friends, just be like, that first episode was just that first episode of the new season. And it really, like, finds its groove. Like, there aren't that many jokes that are, like, dated. Or, like, you know, when I mean dated, like, they're, like, talking about the current time or culture or whatever. Everything seems like I could watch it 5 years from now and still find it funny that Bobby got tricked into buying a horse. Or Dale thinks Hank is a spy. Like, those things I feel like are timeless King of the Hill stuff. And I enjoyed it. This episode was great. I'm really loving this season so far. So, my fingers are crossed that the rest episodes are just as good. And I'm really glad that it's come back. I'm so excited to watch the rest of it.
I am too. I think we're halfway through now, so there's about 5 more episodes. Yeah. I've been enjoying it so far. I'm looking forward to doing more episodes and watching them with you guys. And hopefully you're enjoying the podcast so far. Tell all your friends, and we will be back next time. Until then, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.